Enter Endon's Mystic Garden, where Endon Magic and Chris Wessling will walk you through mystic realms. Endon Magic is an ordained minister, a doctor of philosophy, a Reiki master, a clairvoyant and clairaudient. She has many gifts where she works with spirits, angels, and many other beings from the other side. Several psychic clubs and has over 50 years experience in the psychic realm. Welcome to this magical and mystical program.
Oh, and welcome to Don's Mystic Garden. And I am Endon, and this is my good friend Chris.
Greetings,
hello,
everybody.
Chris.
Hi, Endon. How are you this week?
Doing fine.
Yeah. I was going to say, one of the things I was looking at this week, too, that we were talking about earlier for the listeners, when we were having our chat about dreams the other day, it's an area that I thought would be a lot of interest for those who are listening. And it's one of the ones that I look at. It's actually such a vital part of what we do, that most of us do, that but yet we have so little understanding of.
Well, don't you go into the discovery of the dreams themselves?
You can go into dreams in a great amount of depth. And probably the best way I describe it is like during our waking state, you know, we've got our conscious mind functions on our everyday to day level. But we've got a subconscious layer that's always going all the time. But during our dream state, it's where we're actually allowing ourselves to go down to the subconscious mind and start accessing it there. And in the dream state, our conscious mind relaxes and dips down towards the subconscious, and the subconscious relaxes and comes up towards the conscious. And they meet and interact. Any differences between the conscious and subconscious mind work to resolve themselves at that point in time. So usually our dreams are reflecting something of our conscious and subconscious mind and their interactions, and it's learning to interpret it along those bases. And it may be something that's just happened that day, in the last week. It could have been an ongoing thing that's been around for years that we haven't ever resolved or worked through. You know, and for a lot of us, we're not actually understanding what's all this about, so we don't know what to do with it. I'm not sure from your side how much the traditional cultures work with it in your country. Would you have insight on that?
Well, I want to ask the people to call in right now at 1-888-268-4313 if they have a question. International calls are 218-419-7697. So Chris,
we'd love to hear from you.
Yes. So Chris, tell me about your workshops and what do you do in your workshops?
With
do you set up classes?
What's that?
Do you set up classes?
Dreamworks, I tend to do, if I'm doing classes on those, I'll do small classes, usually from up to about 10 people maximum. And we tend to explore the dreams on a more individual basis in the workshop as a group. And we'll look at what dreams we've had coming up, what they're connecting us to, how we work with that, and tools of exploring those issues that have come up through the dream, how to interpret both what I call factual vision in the dream and symbolic visions of the dream. Often dreams are very symbolic, and we can get in and interact with these things consciously when we go back and reflect on the dream.
Excuse me, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was looking at that side of it, and I find as we learn to unfold them, we actually start to discover the parts of ourselves that we weren't interacting with beforehand. And the more we do that, the more we actually bring our dream state into our waking state, which is actually making what was subconscious now a conscious part of our interaction. And it's quite an explorative process when I'm doing that one. And enjoy it a lot.
Now,
that's
how...
one of the workshops I do. Other workshops that I do besides the dreams, I do workshops on seeing and working with auras, working with devas and nature spirits, psychic awareness, psychic development. I do personal growth, life coaching. I do work as a counselor and therapist as well. So there's quite a range of, you know, workshops and things that I have available. I just had one recently of working with instincts and intuition, which I quite enjoyed. So it's a lot of fun. And, you know, it can be quite a sort of close but intimate experience, you know, for those in the group, because you're actually getting to work with our inner nature, which is the parts we usually don't show to each other. So it actually gets a lot of fun, and you get to know the people really well, and you sort of, you know, almost feel like family, you know, before too long. So it's quite good, actually.
Now, do you ever do email workshops?
I don't do email workshops as such, but I have interacted with people through email. More from what I look at nowadays is I'll do more voice contact, because phone rates are getting so cheap nowadays that you can talk to almost anybody in the world anywhere for not much. So I do work with people through phone connection, sometimes through chat rooms and internet. You can get private chat where you can do voice chat over the computer. Emails are handy for getting basic information and stuff like that, but I find you're not getting that close instant interaction. It's like when you're asking a question about something, you're often wanting to know it from that experiential place that you're in at that moment. And if you write an email, by the time I send a response, you may not be in the same emotional place. So I find it important often to talk to the person where they're at that moment I'm talking to them and work with them from that place, you know.
Do you have a way for people to contact you?
People can reach me through email. Now, they can either reach me through your website, or there's another website that can get a message to me through paranormalhelp.com, which is another website that I'm also connected with, as well as Endon's website. Do you have your website address available there for the listeners, Endon?
Oh, yes. It's www.mysticcreations.com.
And if anybody would like that and didn't catch it but would like to jot that down, feel free to ring in, and we're more than happy to give it to you, and we'll repeat that again later on in the evening as well. Now, what else have I done? There's a lot of work I'm doing more on the therapy side that I'm doing on phone counselling as well nowadays. There's people that I contact through referrals, and there's also those who are meeting me through the internet, through the different groups that I'm involved in, and they are working with me as on a counselling field, life coaching or whatever part that they're wanting to work with, and we're doing that, as I say, one-to-one on the phone as a standard counseling or therapy session.
Right. And we also do personal psychic readings, and I also do tarot readings. I also do rune readings, dice, dominoes, crystal ball readings. If it can be read, I can read it. So if anybody would like to have a reading, they can contact me through my website, and that website is, again, at www.mysticcreations.com.
It's actually quite exciting, that reading through things, you know, from the different variations we've got of actually doing readings. It's almost anything that exists you can do readings through now, can't you?
Oh, yes. Yes. I can even read smoke signals.
Yeah. It's always a classic. We see old westerns, and, yeah, it's an interesting one. Could you tell us a bit about that? Because that's something like, apart from seeing it on the old westerns, which seemed like how would I put it bluntly or politely?
Well,
seemed a load of rubbish from the way they portrayed it at that time.
Well, First of all, I wasn't talking about that kind of smoke signals.
Yep.
I was talking about candle smoke, really.
Okay.
I can read candle smoke readings. I do those in my home. And we also have gatherings here also once in a while for readings, et cetera, you know. And I also do spiritual lessons.
Yeah.
So,
how do the candle smoke readings actually work? What is it that we're looking for in that?
Well, actually, I can tell your health through them, and I can tell how your mental state is and what may be coming up in the near future.
Is that by the smoke becoming thicker or thinner or darker or lighter? What's the actual thing that we notice?
Well, actually, with the reading of the candles from the smoke or the smudge that's coming up, you know, you light the candle and everything, and then you use the smoke reading for that person. And what you get is usually a design in the flow of the smoke.
Okay.
Because
so you're reading it as it's coming off the candle?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember seeing somebody did a thing where they had a bit of white paper over a candle that smoked, and they
were
working with the imprint.
That's called smudge candle.
Okay.
That's what I call it. But it's our candle smudging. And you can also tell what illness a person has just by reading those smudges off that piece of paper.
Yep. Okay, that's an interesting
one. It's very interesting and it's fun to do. It's very fun to do. Fun.
Yeah, it sounds it's one of the ones that I haven't actually done a lot of in-depth work with. So that actually.
Hello.
Hello, Endon.
Hello.
This is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you?
All right. Don't forget to mention that you make beautiful, beautiful dream catchers.
Oh, yes, I do.
Yes, she does.
Yes, I do.
And spirit dolls.
Traditional dream catchers. I made them for this lady here that's on the line with us.
Yep.
And I made her one, and I call it Visions. Wishes.
Okay.
She gets all her wishes that she wants, just if she will do as I say and ask for her wishes to come true through the dream catcher.
Yeah.
I put a lot of energy in each thing I make. I make a different dream catcher for a different person.
How did you find your dream catcher? Where did you say your name was Karen?
Yes.
Yep. How did it work, Karen?
Huh?
Did you find that having around sort of lifted things and helped them flow a lot more?
Mm-hmm. They do. But the reason I called was I had a really interesting day today.
Yeah.
And there's something that I wanted to catch Endon, but I didn't. I was so tired by the time I got through with my trip, and I just didn't catch her today. But I had to go to a doctor's appointment today, and I went by a place that my friend Joe, he's been deceased almost a year, and it was like he was in the car with me.
Well, he was.
And but on the way back, this is what puzzled me. On the way back, I don't know what the significance of this is, but that's why I'm calling, is I passed through hundreds of blackbirds. I've never done this before. I mean, they were like crossing the road. It was just hundreds of them.
Yeah.
And I passed through them. I thought I was going to hit one, but thank goodness I didn't. And then about 10 miles down the road again, I passed through another flock of them.
Of blackbirds.
Of blackbirds.
What are the blackbirds about, Endon? Because you know the animal totems more than
I do. Yes, I do. Blackbirds, they're kind of cute and everything, but, you know, they do carry messages from above. So somebody's trying to contact you. This is what I'm picking up on. And I'm also picking up that the information that you're getting, that you were supposed to get, if you didn't get it, was his messages are coming from Joe.
It must have been.
Because he was with you. He's always been with you for a long, long time here. Now, the blackbird is like the gateway, the in-betweens, right?
Oh, okay.
And this is an inner call to you. There's an inner call to you that's telling you that somebody is trying to get in touch with you. And it is calling you between the two worlds. So this is Joe trying to get in touch with you. He's trying to tell you something. He's trying to work with you. And he's trying to tell you to also to follow a more spiritual path.
Yeah.
also. And you know this.
Yes.
And he's also telling you to become self-aware. He's thrown these blackbirds in front of you twice.
Right.
And he said, hey, take heed to what I'm telling you, girl. You know, and,
yeah.
You know, and he, and my Twilight, you should have your answer.
Okay.
Okay. And that's what I'm showing. That's what I'm getting for you. And
well,
showing that there is a lot of motivation and a lot more potential that it's going to come to you, okay, hon? And
okay.
There is going to be times when it's going to be more important for you to consider the outer world connection than the inner world that you're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, blackbirds call to your soul also. So this is also telling me that there is a need for a change in your soul, your spirituality, your spiritual well-being, your spiritual awareness, because you've been lacking in this for some time.
Oh, yeah.
So it's time. And since you got shown twice.
Yeah. But I don't.
It's a have to or need to.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. Well, it
not
never
tomorrow,
happen.
But right now.
Right now.
So there's a change that needs to be made within you yourself to move on to another area that you need to move on to. But also, I do believe by twilight that you will have an answer in your mind when you wake up.
Oh.
All right?
Okay.
And you let me know about that, okay?
I will.
Okay.
But that's been puzzling me since I got in from my trip, and it was a long trip, and I was tired anyway, and I thought, But when I got to that town, I passed a place that Joe and I had ate at years and years ago, and it was like, okay, he's here, you know.
Can I ask you a question, Karen?
Yes.
If I can ask you to just sort of reflect back on when it happened, and I'm just going to ask you to just be aware of your breath for a moment, sort of breathe into that period, that experience, and what was it like when you started coming up to the blackbirds, and what was happening for you?
Well, I was I was passing my ex-fiancé's grandparents' road that they live on, and we used to have a lot of fun visiting with them back off in there, and that's about where it happened. And there's a cemetery that's right before the blackbirds were that has a beautiful, beautiful silver angel statue in it, and I've always liked that statue.
How do you feel about that?
I liked the statue. I mean, I actually stopped one time and got out and went up to it and looked at it up close.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, it was just reflecting on like a happy time, you know.
Yep.
And so, you know.
So it's sort of calling you back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So as you talk about that happy time, I'm going to ask you to just follow a wee exercise. As you reflect on that happy time and you breathe into it, where best do you feel it in your body?
I guess mostly in my heart, because it was a, you know, those people, his grandparents are good people, and they're very, very spiritual people, and they're just, you know, they're good people. And we always
had fun
out there. And
Would you be interested in sort of just getting in touch with what it is for you yourself?
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
I'll have.
As you focus into your heart, just breathing into that and just feeling what's there, what does it take you back to in your feelings? What does it connect you with? And as you connect into that feelings that you're feeling in your heart, I want you to breathe them out to anywhere else in your body that needs them or would like them at this time. And tell me where they go and what you feel as you do that. So you're breathing into that place where those feelings are that you have with the silver angel and the statue and the people it connects you with. As you breathe into that in that heavier time, where else in your body would like this or wants this at this time?
Seems like it goes to my shoulders.
Okay, as you breathe into your shoulders, breathe it out. You breathe into that place where it is, and then as you breathe it out to your shoulders and wherever else it would like to go. And as you do that, are there any awarenesses or understandings come to mind? You're allowed to say yes or no, whatever is appropriate.
Yeah, they do.
They do. Okay, it sounds like it could be present.
But I don't want to go into them.
That's perfect. It's not always appropriate on the air.
But I was just curious about the blackbirds, And, you know, because that just, it had never happened before. So, you know, I didn't catch into the day. So I wanted to call and ask her. And I always love to hear her do her thing. You know, she's
well,
it
feels like it's been quite a significant one because it's, you know, it's well and truly at a point where there's a place of significance for you as you're passing that place. And the fact that, you know, as Endon says, they are messengers between the two worlds, you know, there's a connection there, but there's a messenger between the two worlds of this place or around this place of importance for you. And it's interesting, they just come up at there, you know, not further down the road or either way.
So. All right. Well, I appreciate y'all answering my question that I had.
Well, thank you, Karen.
And I'll catch you tomorrow.
Okay.
And before I go to work and let you know.
All right.
Okay.
Because you will get an answer.
Okay. Good deal. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Do we have another caller?
Yes. So if there's anybody else here who'd like to ring in with questions, any questions that are in the psychic, paranormal, personal growth, anything in that field, you're more than welcome to ring up and ask. Between Endon and I, we've got quite a wide range of experience. We're usually able to answer most questions. And we'd love to hear from you.
I want people to know that I put on my website at www.mysticcreations.com the animal totem questionnaire. So if you want to take that little questionnaire, you can send it to me at my email address, which is on the website, and I will be more than happy to answer your questions and to help you discover your animal totem.
It's always a big one, that one, isn't it, Endon? The animals often play a significance in our lives that we often don't give credit to.
Well, yes, they do. Most people don't, you know. People just don't understand that the animals are our brothers and our sisters, and they really don't understand that we are here to protect them.
Yeah, and that they can actually play a valuable part in our lives. It's like anything in our lives, as I said, it's... You know, I can learn from an experience with a person. I can learn with an experience by tramping in a bit of native bush somewhere. Or I can learn from an experience with an animal. Anything in life can teach us and lead us somewhere.
Even
it's a matter
plants.
Of whether we see it that way.
Plants also can teach us many, many things. You know,
totally.
With plants, and you can make your essential oils. You can use them for your protection, like an ivy. People don't most know that ivy... If you hang it around your house in a little planter, it's good for protection of your home. You know, and there's just so many plants out there that you can work with to create what you need. You know, if you need a little extra protection in or around your house to keep all kinds of stuff away, you grow some ivy, you know.
Does a particular focus with the protection more in one area than the other, or is it a very generalized
protection? It's general. It's just on your preference of which plant you would like to use, you know, for that purpose.
Is there other plants that are good for protection that people could look at?
Well, there's lavender, there's roses, there's cactus works, you know, because it has the little spurs on them.
Yeah.
And you know what happens when you touch one of them?
I tend to touch plants in ways that, like, I love plants, you know, I talk with the Davis and Nature Spirit, so it's quite a natural thing, but I've touched cactuses and never got pricked by them yet. Just interesting, you know, it's just one of those things.
I love plants and I love animals. I just can't stand anyone to abuse an animal, because an animal will teach us things also. They protect us as much as we can protect them. They bring us messages. They give us protection, like our dogs or our cats. Even a cat will protect you, you know.
Yeah.
I just love animals.
Yeah. To me, it's a big facility, that love that comes out when we have something. It's like, you know, if we see a little kitten or a baby rabbit or even a grown rabbit, it just brings up that warm feeling that quite often we don't access a lot of the time. And for those of us, you know, that often have a very busy, busy life, you know, especially with Western society, we very much distract ourselves so often that we don't take the time to connect back with those emotions and feelings. And before we know it, we're becoming very distant from them.
Well,
so animals is a polite, it's a gentle way, whether it's a physical animal or a picture of an animal or just passing through the countryside where we come in contact with them. It's got so many benefits that we usually don't give credit for.
Right. As Karen was saying a few minutes ago, I do make dream catchers, and but my thing is I make them for each individual, what is good for them, what they need. I'll use the four winds on the majority of them, and then I will put into each one a certain aspect or property in that dream catcher for that person alone. And that's the way I do my my perfumes and my candles. I love to create.
What are dream catchers actually for?
A dream catcher is supposed to be for filtering out the bad dreams and allowing only the good dreams to come in.
Okay.
And in traditional time, they use those over babies.
Okay, so there is a traditional basis to them.
So that the baby will be calm during the night and wouldn't have fretful dreams, you know. And traditionally, of old days, the dream catcher was created by Grandmother Spider.
Okay.
Now, she created the original dream catcher.
Yeah. Well, that saves me asking the question of where it originally comes from.
Well, it is reportedly and told down through the centuries that Grandmother Spider created the first dream catcher. Because if you look at a dream catcher, you will see the different aspects of the little weaves all around it. Now, I study spiders and their webs that they make, and I tried to recreate their web onto my dream catchers.
Okay.
I'll go out and I look for a spider's web, and I will look at it, and I watch it, and I watch it to see how it is making its little designs. And I have come up with some really neat designs.
Yeah. Sorry for interrupting you there. You know,
that's fine.
There's a lot of different types of webs I find. Because in nature, like we just think of the spider webs often as one basic design, but there's actually quite a lot of variations on it.
Oh, yes. Different spiders have different webs also, a different design.
Okay.
Now, I have a cute little old spider out here that I watch constantly, and it's like a crab spider.
Yeah.
Okay. It is so cute. It's a little red thing. It's got little red spots on it. And I'll watch it. And, you know, sometimes this little old spider is just the size of a pea. It will make arrows.
Okay.
And then sometimes it'll make circles. And other times, it makes like triangles in its web. And I would go out there, and I look at this little spider, and I say, what message do you want me to see? You know, and I'm looking at its beautiful design that it has, and I say, wow, you just cannot imagine the beauty in a spider web.
Makes me wonder
I tried to create that, but I have not yet to create the arrows.
Yeah. Makes me wonder what influences them to change the design at all, whether it's weather, phases of the moon, or some other factors that come into it.
Well, that would be interesting to look at, wouldn't it?
It's an interesting one.
That would be interesting, because sometimes I have noticed that during the weather, if it's going to rain, they're not out. You know, so they're not really creating a web at that time. So it can't be the weather, I don't think. But it must be the moon. Maybe the moon is influencing them. You know, the moon influences everything, you know, just about.
Yeah.
And the sun.
Well, reading some information I came across somewhere, about 15 years ago now. At that stage, they'd already measured the tidal effects in a cup of tea from the moon.
Really?
The moon affects things even on small scale.
Well, I know that if you lay a board down, the moon will draw it and give it a curvature, right?
Okay.
Okay. Now you turn that board over. Yeah. And the moon will draw it up the other way, and then your board is flat.
Well, that's something I didn't know. I know a few builders would find that helpful.
Yes. You can actually straighten your board. Because, see, it'll draw. The moon draws. The moon draws. The sun beats down. The moon draws.
Yep.
So it's drawing up everything.
Which is often not the way that people always think it's the moon.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah. It's one of those things that often the moon is portrayed as the dark side. But there's certain cultures I find very much have it as a reflective thing of light, as a positive energy, which is actually quite nice. Which I think is more the reality of the moon, because I find it a very positively influencing thing in my life.
Well, couples, when you see them maybe for their first date or whatever, they'll be walking and walking around. They're holding hands and they look up the moon. They go, oh, look at that beautiful moon. See, so it's a lover's moon also.
Okay.
That's the way I pick it up.
Well, I always find, for me personally, it's like when it's full moon, my readings and abilities just pick up so much. And if, you know, I'm giving anybody a reading, full moon's a perfect time to do it.
Well,
I
differ there.
Okay.
Okay, but we have different backgrounds, so I differ. When I do a reading and the full moon comes up, I know for sure that something not so grand is going to happen to this person. Because that full moon rising usually means disaster or danger ahead.
Interesting.
Exactly. That's the way I have always interpreted, and that's been over 50 years, you know.
Yeah.
But when the card comes up, I'm not talking about the moon itself. I'm talking about the tarot card moon.
Yep.
Now, other people can say this or that, whatever they want to make you feel good about it.
Yep.
But when that card comes up, I know for a fact that this person is going to have some kind of a mishap. Something is not going to be right for the next few days. And I would always say at least 2 weeks. To be a little bit more careful of your surroundings, to be a little bit more careful of what you say or do.
So it's actually...
It's a warning sign to me.
Yeah, of taking caution and things like that. Things
caution.
That are more sensitive to environments.
Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to die or anything like that.
No.
It just means to be a little bit more careful, watch what you say, what you do, and to just watch.
Now, within that, like when giving the tarot card readings, like I have done some tarot card readings myself, but I'm not as skilled at it as you are by a long shot. Do you see that, like when you're warning people that they can actually get through that period okay, so long as they're sensitive to their environment and take any precautions they need to? And if something doesn't feel right in that period, just to leave it for the moment, once that period's over, they can go back to it and it should be okay if they still need to.
If they still need to.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of different ways to interpret the cards.
That's what I found in the use of them.
Mine is more intuitive than just reading the card.
Yeah. That's often what I find. It's like for me, a lot of the divination devices is really about using our intuition. What's often happening when we're learning to use these things, whether it's the tarot cards or the crystal ball or reading tea leaves, it's about our abilities to perceive further than our standard five senses that have been focused into at that time, that then come out and allow us the ability to give the reading. And that's what makes a good reader, is the person who's got in touch with those instincts, those intuitions, those extra senses or extension of our senses that allow that in-depth reading to come forward. And, you know, otherwise, you know, we'd just be able to go down the corner store and just grab a book and it would tell us immediately what we need to know.
Well, let me tell you, a lot of people have a lot of misconceptions about psychics and tarot readers.
Yep.
Not all psychics are tarot readers. And, of course, not all tarot readers are psychic.
Yeah, very definitely. It's one of the things with a lot of the divination tools, isn't it? It's like, you know, there are those of us who can go out, we can buy the books and learn to quote from the books. The instincts and the intuition side, I find, is knowing which cards fit together, like if you're doing a multiple card reading, and whether you pull a card out, it might be talking about a physical situation, but yet knowing there's actually, it's a materialization of something going on internally for the person at this stage.
Right.
And it's learning to feel, where does this go? Where does this connect to? What's this about? What's this bring out? And you get little pointers with the instincts and intuition that tell you you've got to look at something. And sometimes for those doing the reading, just asking a question of the person we're doing the reading for, do you have something in this area happening in life? Do you, you know, I find I may be getting a picture of something and I'll ask the person, does this picture make sense to you? I'm getting this picture over and over. You know, and it's those bits that make the difference. You can get some very good tarot card readers who are not psychic. I've seen some. But often if you can get somebody who's good at the psychic stuff and at the tarot or whatever divination tool they use, they to me are the ones that quite often I find that extra little touch to the reading that you can get.
I've noticed a lot of them give that extra little touch, as you call it. I call it just feel-good readings. I'm not a feel-good reader. I read the facts. And the facts only. You know, I'm not going to tell you that you're going to be happy forever after if you're not going to be, you know, unless you change your ways, change whatever you're doing, you know. Everybody has to change. But,
yeah,
I'm just not
one.
That kind of a reader. And I just don't care for it. Because
it's
to me, that's
Cinderella
a complete
story
fraud.
Point. Yeah. There's a thing I look at, you know, for me, there's always a positive direction in whatever readings we get. It's just learning to take it, learning to see it, and learning where we need to go with this. Because even as Endon was saying with the moon card before, you know, it does indicate that some things may be falling apart. But often things are falling apart for a reason. It's something we need to disassemble to rebuild something new. There's reasons for it. And it's what we do with what's happening that becomes important.
Well, usually when I get that card for somebody, I know what is going on before I get the card. So that card is more or less just reconfirming what I was already thinking, what was going on with the person. And when they get that card and I start explaining the situation around this card, then they'll start saying about what is really going on with them. And then you can go from there, you know, so they can learn to see which way they need to go, what is going to happen next. If they continue to go this way, will this continue to happen? Or if this doesn't continue to go this way, what will happen if I change, you know?
Which is a question for the listeners who aren't familiar with tarot cards. Tarot cards are actually quite a good divination tool. They're often pointing indicators, they're directions. And they're showing us choices that we've got available at this time. And it's often about the choices we make. And as we make those choices, we can get a clarity on what's there for us to work with in this direction. It's not saying this is going to happen and we don't need to do anything about it. It's telling us the area that we need to look in, that we need to become involved with for this path. And as we change the path or look at what paths are becoming available from a certain point or from a particular question, we can get clarity on those paths and what is there for us to work with on those paths.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I'm just playing with you, sweetie.
Perfect.
Again, I would like you to tell where people can contact you, how they can get a hold of you, what is your email address, and your other website. What is the name of that one?
It's paranormalhelp.com.
Is that a www.paranormal? Help.
Yep, paranormal help, all is one word,
.com.
Yeah.
You folks be sure to look that up, because I know there has to be a lot of good information there if Chris is on it. And what is your email?
And my email can be reached, you can reach it through Endon's website. You've got a link to Chris's page there. And my email is ch_, and it's WESSELING@yahoo.com. So that's ch_Wesling@yahoo.com.
Thank you, Chris. I I think you're going to get a lot of emails here pretty soon.
I'd like to.
That'd be nice.
I like getting the emails. And,
do you charge anything for your sessions?
When I do work with people, yes, I do. I charge $120 an hour.
But they get some help, though.
Very much. The readings I do and the work I do is quite in depth. And a big thing I do with the readings and work I do is I help people actually find their own answers. I'm not always focused on giving people the answers. There are certain things I will give people.
Right.
But a lot of it, I find it's about finding our own answers, because we all have the ability to do certain things, and it's learning to use that ability that a lot of our experiences come up for. And if we don't learn them, then the experience is going to continue happening.
Exactly. That's what I do here in my home also. We basically do the same thing. We just have different ways of doing it.
Very much. And Don and I have both worked on the internet and different clubs and groups. And we've had a lot of fun doing it. And our approaches are different, but very complementary. And I find that it gives a very full picture to the work that we do when we're working together. It often benefits people a lot. The areas where I'm not as strong, which is probably the older path, Endon is able to come in and complement that really well, and vice versa. When Endon's doing her work, I can come in with some of the newer approaches that fit well. I also do have a lot of the older knowledge. I've worked with a Kabbalah, a lot of forms of yoga, trying to think which ones are valid here. I am base ground Buddhist. I've been working with the Buddhist path for over 20 years now, but it's one of the forms and paths that I've worked with over the years as well.
Now, you spoke of the Kabbalah.
Yes.
Right? You know, you have never told me this before. Now, let me tell you something.
Yes.
I also have studied that.
It's an interesting
area to go into. I am intrigued with it.
Yeah.
And I'm also intrigued with Egyptian magic. Oh, now, one of these nights we'll go on Egyptian magic. That's just fascinating. Then another night we'll have one on numerology. You do numerology also, don't you?
I do little bits of numerology. I sort of focused into it for a while, but then I let it go. As I get now into the direct reading, I don't use divination tools as such. I just go straight into what's there. And a big thing for me was, why go to something to then go to the information? I learned that I can go to the information directly, so I just go straight there.
But, you know, for normal people who want to find out more about themselves, numerology is one of the best ways of doing it. They're your destiny, more or less. Now, there is nothing in this world that does not have a number.
And it's a big thing with the numbers, because you can break words, letters, everything has numbers. And
everything has numbers, and you can break those numbers down, and you can will show you what is the understanding and using your numbers to your advantage, to your destiny, to your inside. You know,
one of the big things I found that was helpful with numerology is, you know, a simple explanation of looking at my birth date and my name and the energies that are in my birth date and in my name from numerology gave me a clearer sense of direction of what my life's about. And I could start looking into those a lot more to see what was going on, how it was happening, and what I can learn from that. And understanding our direction and the energies that are there for us this life gives us the ability to interpret some of the things that are happening a lot more clearly than I was previously. That's one of the big advantages I find from numerology. You can also get it from astrology. And there's a range of tools that we can use to actually bring these things out a lot more. Often I find the big questions we have is, what is life about? What am I here for? What's my purpose for being here? And not seeing that, often it's a question that we can ask for years until we can get something, give us an indication of what is the purpose of life, you know? And it's not just life in general, it's our life personally. You know,
with numerology, I'm going back to this for a second. With numerology, just if someone was to say to me, my birthday is on the 15th, I don't care what year it is, I can tell you exactly what kind of a person you are.
Oh, I'm on the 25th. What does that tell you?
On the what?
25th.
The 25th?
Yep, I'm on the 25th of November.
Well, okay. Now, the 25th is a very good power number. I can tell you that right now. But it also is telling me that you have a lot of good, you are very capable in the metaphysics. It's also telling me that you are a spiritual leader. And it's telling me that you're a teacher, your challenges. It's telling me that you're very rational and you have a very keen sight. You're logical.
Yeah.
You're a very logical person and very intelligent, and you have a very good approach to life, and you have a very fine intuition. People with the number 7 usually are more intuitive than other people, but with this as your birthday, then we're just learning what you are on your birthday, and you like to investigate things. You like to look at the very inside core of everything. You are... But sometimes you don't take things at face value either. You just kind of, like I was saying, you go inside. You don't take everything at face value.
No, I like to question things a lot.
And you do make good decisions. Let me see what else I can think of. But you can be easily imbalanced in your life also.
It's quite a wee bit for just a quick throw out of some of the numbers.
Like I say, give me your birth date and I'll tell you how you are. But you really prefer to work alone and at your own pace also. But you can have another person to help you a little bit, you know, but you're that way. And you're very sensitive and you feel so deeply. And I learned this from years of talking to you. You're very sensitive and
Thank you for that.
And you feel deeply. You keep your friends for a long time until they kind of slap you in the face. And I learned that the hard way too. But, and you do share your life and you share your emotions. You're a very good person. And that's just what I got from your birthday of being on the 25th.
Yeah.
You don't want to tell you how I know?
Because
I was born on the 25th.
For our listeners listening, Ends on a High has never shared our birth dates before, as far as I'm aware.
No, I was just teasing. But I knew that just by the word, you know, the 25th.
Yeah.
You know? Like I say, I am deep into numerology. And by the way, I do numerology. If anybody would like to have theirs done, they can send their information to me. I would need their first name, middle name, last name, at birth, and then their birth date, and then the name they use now. And they can send that to me with a small donation. I'd do it for about, $10. And you can send that through the Yahoo on my website.
Which is quite cheap, especially for today's prices of readings, which are available.
Yes, well, this
there.
Is a radio freebie I'm talking. More or less, you may as well say it is free because it's only $10.
So somebody,
that's a $10 donation.
Yeah,
and
so
also
somebody
I do,
sends you an email and lets you know if they heard you on this radio station, they could get that reading for $10.
Exactly. If they say they heard it on the radio, they will get it for $10.
Cool.
And also, I do palm readings over the internet. They can send me a scanned picture of their palm.
Okay.
And they send that to me with, again, their name and their birth date. Send it to me. Again, this will be, because of the radio station, a small donation of only $10 again, and I will do a in-depth palm reading for you.
And
now,
for those who are listening, when Endon has done in-depth readings with me in the past, they have gotten to be quite detailed. On the radio here, it's a bit trickier to get as in-depth without taking up a lot of time. But they've been quite helpful in the past.
Now, here's a trick when you get your palm scanned on your scanner. You take your lid off, if possible, put you a nice, clean, white towel over your hand, and then let it scan. Don't press down. Just gently hold your hand on top of the glass and let it scan. And then do your right hand and your left hand, mark them as that, and then send them in the email to me, and along with the $10 donation, saying VBS radio offer.
Okay,
and you will be charged.
Sure.
Then you can send me the $10 donation. And remember, if you don't have the $10 to send, please send anyway. I'd be more than happy to do it. If you say and tell your friends about VBS radio.
Okay, so that's a special offer for listeners this evening. And I hope you.
That's for this week only, everybody.
Yeah. It'd be nice to have a few people sending in emails with questions. You're more than welcome to do it. We love to hear from you. Yeah, which has been pleasant. Yeah. It's one of the things with numerology, for those who are listening. Numerology in some, on the surface, can seem quite very generalized. You just got one number, it appears. But once you go into your birth date and you compare it with your name, and then you start doing the different things with numbers, because there's a lot of patterns you can use to work the numbers, it can get very detailed. The same as with astrology. I find astrology and numerology work very, very well together, and they're very complementary. There's a friend of mine in Australia who got his readings even further in depth. He would overlay it with the tarot cards, which were linked with the different astrology signs and astrology patterns. So he used a combination of numerology, astrology, and tarot together. And they were just amazing readings. Like he'd just get the details of somebody, and he could virtually unfold them to a T. He was very good at it.
Hello, caller.
Hello, this is Mary from Louisiana calling.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Do you have a question for us tonight?
Yes, sir. I have a question about my health.
Yes.
I have been diagnosed with some syndromes, and I'm calling to find out if the doctors will be able to help me with it.
May I ask you one question?
What kind of syndrome did you say that was?
I have chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, along with rheumatoid arthritis, osteoarthritis.
Okay. Just to give you a wee intro here.
Right. I'll let Chris answer this because he's more into that.
Okay, thank you.
I've actually had fibromyalgia and slight arthritis condition myself. So I'm very familiar with that. What is it you would like to know about it first that I might be able to share with you?
But I do know one thing, sweetie. Don't eat tomatoes.
I don't like tomatoes.
Well, good.
I don't.
Because it'll make your condition worse.
I'm just trying to figure out. I also have 7 bulging discs in my spine, 3 in the cervical, 1 in thoracic, and 3 in the lumbar.
Well, who
and
beat
I've,
you up?
No, it's just
I'm
happened
just
over
playing,
the years.
I'm just playing.
I'm trying to get my disability, and I'm just trying to figure out if the doctors are going to be able to find something to help me, or I'm like in lingo.
A lot of it is for people with fibromyalgia and that, and the chronic fatigue. It really is a self-management tool most of the time that's going to work at the end of the day. There is a lot of drugs that they do work at giving people for it. Personally, I chose the non-drug path. I learned to manage the pain conditions and so forth myself.
Mm-hmm.
And just to give you an indication, I would pass out with the levels of pain that I had with it.
Have you applied for your Social Security already?
Yes, I have. I'm waiting for a court date.
Well, I believe that court date's going to come up real soon, maybe within the next month.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm also seeing there will be an improvement in you also, but that's only because you're going to let your stress is going to go down after you get your Social Security, because you'll be less stressful.
Okay.
Stress has a lot to do with your condition.
Yes, I understand that a great deal. I've been trying to get to see a doctor for my spine, and it's like they've been bouncing me around for over a year now.
That's a long time.
That's a long time, sweetie. Let me ask you something also. Do you take any type of vitamins?
Yes, I take Centrum every day.
Centrum every day. Okay. I used to be, well, a retired dietitian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can set up a diet for any disease there is. And if you will put in an email to me,
okay,
no charge, sweetie, no charge, I will send you different vitamins to take. And you can talk this over with your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to be sure to do that.
Okay.
And I can help you with some of the vitamins and things and herbs so that you will feel better and will take less drugs. All right?
Because okay.
I myself, I don't take drugs of any medication at all for any reason.
Well, if I don't take the medication, I can't
physically walk. You hurt.
I hurt that bad. I cannot walk.
Well, okay, I'm going to send you some information.
Is it, you need to play up a lot with that.
You send me an email saying, this is Mary. I called last night. I need help with my vitamins and herbs. And
okay.
It'll take me a couple of days to get this all fixed up for you. But, honey, I will do it for you. But I'm also seeing that you will get your day in court and you will win. But I think it's going to be a little bit more of a struggle also for you.
I was going to say, it looks like it's a little bit down the path.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a little bit more of a struggle and for you. But you just hang in there, sweetie. All right?
Okay.
Now, Chris, if you want to continue with this, go ahead.
Just the thing with the diet, with the arthritis, one thing I look at that seems to benefit a lot of people, and you can talk it over with your doctor and whoever else you need to. The glucosamine and chondroitin seems to be giving a lot of benefit for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not a qualified naturopath, but it's something that I've found through the people that I'm familiar with that they found has been beneficial. It could be worth you looking at, discuss it with your doctor or your naturopath.
Okay.
And one thing I'll say, I'm not recommending you don't take drugs. That's something you sort out for yourself. And
exactly.
You do it between
your
doctor and your naturopath and the choices that you choose to make. The other side is with diet, with tomatoes. Tomatoes are what are called part of the deadly nightshade family. And we find that people with fibromyalgia, you're better off eliminating the deadly nightshade family, which is potatoes, tomatoes, capsicums, and eggplant.
Any acid foods. No acid foods.
Yeah.
Because you need to have an alkaline balance in your body. And that's what's causing most of your distress, is that you're more acid than alkaline.
Yeah.
And stress adds to that.
And
I have a lot of stress.
And, you know, stress creates acid.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's some interesting bits with that stress.
Can I
ask you a question? How are your kidneys?
My kidneys?
Yeah.
I have pain in the kidney area, but they've never looked at it. They told me it was from my spines in my back.
Well,
but
you also have a yeast infection also, don't you, throughout your body?
Yeah,
well, I get sharp pains in my kidneys where it cuts through and through me and I can't breathe.
Yeah, because that's
it's
what
like
I'm saying.
It's like in the area of under my ribs.
Yeah. Yeah, because your body, it's the area that seems to be lighting up the most is your kidneys, and I was trying to understand it.
I've had a lot of urinary tract
infection in that area, sweetie.
Yeah. If you're having trouble with the urinary tract infection, one of the things to look at that I found very useful was using reflexology. I used to have a flatmate who got severe urinary tract infection that usually would last for 2 weeks, and I did reflexology on her feet, and we could usually blow it out in about 4 days, max, sometimes two.
Yeah.
Which, you know, up until that stage for her was unknown, so it could be worth looking at.
Okay.
There's some good books on reflexology. You're just looking for the urinary tract, the kidney, and the bladder points on the feet.
And on my website, sweetie, I do have a page on healing herbs. If you'll care to look at that, there's numerous list of healing herbs there for anybody for any type of problem they may have.
They're very, very handy. There's a friend of mine, he was a practicing magician, and for those who may not be so familiar, part of the magical path is the herbs of the plant, of nature, and when you learn to work with nature, and he used to make this concoction just out in his garden for his wife when she got urinary tract infections, and would usually be gone very, very quickly.
Okay.
Wasn't the most pleasant tasting concoction, but it worked, and it worked very, very well. So plants are well and truly worth looking at. There's a lot of benefit we can gain from those as well.
Okay, thank you. The only thing that
sweetie, it's going to happen for you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
All righty.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
I want to point out another little thing. I have 52 different spiritual prayers that I send out to others. Now, if anybody wants those, I would be more than happy to send those out to people. They're for illness, they're for any affliction you may have. You can send me an email and say, in the subject line, 52 prayers. And I will be more than happy to send those out to you.
Yeah, it's quite often nice when you're feeling your body's not functioning as fully as you would like to, have something that you can focus on that gives you that positive energy to work with and to feed energy to the area that we're looking for at the time.
Well, her body is way too much acid in it. I picked that up right away. But
yeah.
So I knew she had an infection. I knew she had a yeast infection also. And, and her kidneys have an infection in them. So she,
yeah, it's interesting because they're flaring, look like they're flaring up quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Good to cross-check with her.
We wish you well, sweetie.
Yes, and best wishes. We'll certainly send out a prayer for you. So
yes.
May it work well and help along the way. It's a very solid path because fibromyalgia is one of the conditions that does affect a lot of people, and it's hard to diagnose. So, you know, when you have something that you don't seem to be making so much headway to start with, don't lose heart. There is a path through these things. It's just a matter of finding it. And, you know, the more of us that become aware of it and talk about it,
there
the more that the authorities and the medical system is getting to acknowledge it.
There is actually a way that I heard that there was a lady, and this is Don Newsom, by the way, for the listening audience. There's a lady named Sherry Edwards, and if you go to sherryedwards.com, she talks about bioacoustics, and it's a new science that actually now can tell through your voice print what problems you have in your body, from stubbing your toe to cancers to fibromyalgia to tumors to every, just probably just about most known problems, from bacteria and viruses all the way through. And not only will it tell you if you have these problems, it will tell you how you got them. So it's a new science.
Yeah.
It deals with voice patterns, because the voice is connected to the main nerve, which runs throughout the entire body. And it's quite similar to Star Trek's tricorder. Basically, I mean, if you could think along the lines of taking a voice print and running that through a computer, and it within 10 minutes tells you every problem in your body and how you got those problems and what you can do to fix them. And the neat part is this system not only pinpoints it, tells you how you got it, but can rectify the situation with frequency. In other words, vitamin C is a certain frequency, and a protein might be a certain frequency, and when they combine, they might do something, create some sort of a hormone or neurotransmitter, mix neurotransmitters on various frequencies. But what they've known is they can combine frequencies of different, let's call it different products. So you may be able to combine the frequency of a vitamin C with the frequency of copper, aim that at the person, and that person then gets the benefit as if they would have taken the vitamin C and the copper. You see what I'm saying? And they're doing this with sound. And it is a science that has proved itself. It's proved itself. And now they have governments from around the world looking to talk with them. They have doctors from around the world looking to not only integrate the technology, but are working with them. And this is just something that has just, and I mean just, started into mainstream. And I think it's basically, it looks like the answer. Just thought I'd just let you know.
Interesting website. Do you have a link to that through your radio station site at all?
Pardon me. I'm talking about... actually, her name is Sherry Edwards. Yeah. It's Sharry Edwards.com. And you'll read a little bit about her, but she does this science called bioacoustics. And she,
worth looking at.
And Sherry is a person that has a voice that, in fact, we're going to be archiving an interview with her and Dr. Claude Swanson that she did with us. She has a voice that she can actually hear much lower than a human and much higher, where a human can hear in the range of 20,000 hertz or whatever they call it.
Yep.
This lady can hear up to 60,000, and she can hear... She can basically hear when dolphins, the same things dolphins hear. Now, it's very strange, and this is a proven situation here. We're not talking, we're not filling anybody with any ludicrous happenings here. This is all verified and backed. And so it's a pretty interesting situation that's going on.
I was going to say, you know, just her hearing range alone is amazing in itself.
Well, you know, when she can actually... You can speak to her for 10 seconds,
yep.
And she herself can give you an auditory tone, something like you've never heard before. I mean, it's unnerving. She'll give you this tone, and through her own vocals, and then she'll tell you what's wrong with you. And she can then later on run it through a computer and pinpoint everything, because they're mapping everything out. But, I mean, she's uncanny. And she's in Ohio.
Okay.
And her name's Sherry Edwards, Sherry with an A. And I don't even, you know, I'm not going to say what my opinions are on this, but I can tell you this, folks. There are many people on this planet right now that, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah. It's something we can follow up on.
You can read into that whatever you want, and the wilder you read into it, you'll probably be correct. Anyways, I'll let you keep going. Just thought I'd bring that up in case anybody wants to know a little bit about what, because they can always email Sherry a voice print, and Sherry will send them a printout of what's wrong and what they can do to fix it. And if it's very bad, like if they're a paraplegic and they can't move their body, then she can utilize her science also to help them get up and walking again. She's already done this with one who couldn't even eat, couldn't do anything by himself, and now he's walking, he's talking, he's eating, he's moving around, he's taken, from what I understand, study courses, he can see, he can hear, and she's doing this all through frequency, folks, rebuilding the muscles. And so it's an incredible, incredible new science. She was even going to, well, I could go on and on. But anyways, there's that.
It makes sense to me because, you know, there's so much in our world works on frequency. And even within our voice, what I find happen is whatever happens to us, we take on it emotionally. And that affects our breathing. It affects how we speak. The tension in our throat would affect our vocal cords. Whether it's tense, relaxed.
You're correct. In fact, she even believes it goes beyond that. What she's pretty much stating is that what happens is this nerve that runs throughout your entire body and right up through your spinal column and into the brain. Well, if you can imagine like a tuning fork, when you hit a tuning fork, it makes a certain frequency. Well, the same thing happens in your body, and that tune or frequency runs up the nerve and into the liquid in the brain, and it creates a certain frequency. And every instance, I mean, if you've got cancer of a very specific origin, it's going to give you a very specific frequency, and it's going to show up on your chart as various diamonds, and those diamonds are going to have various, it's going to have two bars on the right or a weak bar on the left, or you know what I mean? It's going to show up very specifically where they can say, okay, this is what you got, and then they pinpoint how you got it, and it has something to do with the nerve, and she believes the frequent, the actual, I guess you would have to say the, how do you call that, the fluid that's within the brain cavity?
Yep.
And how that, and how it acts as a tuning. And then, of course, with the vocals, you can pick up everything. And what they've noticed is that a human has, a human gives out a sound through their ear. And a human, the ear, unknown to the human can vocalize up to 20,000. Well, within the ear can hear around 20,000. But what's stranger yet is that the ear gives off a sound between 20 and 60, which is made by the body, 20 and 60,000. Now, nobody hears that. So really, the body's giving off these higher than normal frequencies that the normal human can't hear, and it's giving them off through the ear. And what they did was they correlated that with the voice print and found that 100% of the time that when the ear gave off this, this auditory frequency, the voice print was able to pick it up 100% of the time. So they could either do it through the ear or through the voice. And that's how they found that if they took the voice print, they could get the same diagnostic. So now you can literally tape yourself, Tech, and send it off to her, and you're going to be fully diagnosed. It's crazy.
Oh, I love it. It's nice when it becomes easier. Yeah. Which is, to me, is such a practical tool. And, you know, when I look at auras, you know, the vibration you see in the aura is reflected in the color, because color has a vibratory range and it has a sound correlation. So sound and color have correlations between each other.
You're absolutely correct. In fact, when he spoke,
yeah,
she immediately, from his voice, knew the two colors of his aura. She said, you're blue and green.
Yep.
However, because, and she said, and I see that you have a certain, and I don't want to go into it, there was a certain deficiency, and she said, I can hear that in your voice, and you'll need to be taking this and this.
Yep.
And I was astounded. And but you're right, frequency and color has a frequency, everything has a frequency.
Yeah, it totally all comes in. It's like even consciousness reflects in frequency level. You know, as we talk about evolved conscious, we talk about a higher vibration, which is frequency, which is sound.
And also our thought forms, what we think, it has a sonic powers also. It will go completely around the world, your thoughts.
Yeah.
So it gets to the person that it was intended for. So people, be careful what you think, because it will get to them.
Yeah.
But I also believe that for every solution, there is a spiritual answer.
Very much. It's a matter of finding out. And when we go into the spiritual, there's more and more information we're getting nowadays, like Don was sharing then. Thank you very much for that, Don. It's much appreciated.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Don. That's very interesting.
You're welcome.
I want to look into that, because it's something that I would like to look into myself.
Yeah.
Because I can take and touch a person, and I know exactly what's wrong with them.
Yeah. There is a thing we're finding nowadays, that science is starting to be able to prove more and more of what we talk of as spiritual is now getting scientific basis. It's getting practical stuff behind it where we're understanding how it works, why it works, and what this is about. And what you find is, like Don was sharing with us there with the sound, that most of these things, that when you find one that works, it actually interrelates with all the other things very practically. You know, it's like frequency in our voice is understandable.
Exactly.
Through the fluid in our spine, as Don's describing, but also through the color in our aura, which is a frequency. Sound, color interrelate with each other. I got taught that through music, actually. And there's a lot of this stuff. It all fits together. Anything that's real, to me, fits together very, very well.
Well, I have found through the many, many years that I've been alive, that we sometimes, and I'm speaking we as people, that what we think is what we are. Now, if we think we're going to be sick, we're definitely going to be sick. You know, and I hate the word, I am trying to catch a cold. Now, why in the world is anyone trying to catch a cold? I don't know what that means. But if you can keep your mind off of being ill, off of being sick, off of being afflicted with diseases, you won't get them. Now, here's a little story from long ago. I'm a good storyteller from long ago that's true stories. Long ago, maybe 20 years now, maybe 21. Okay, I fell. I hurt my back so bad that I had to be in a wheelchair for some time. I couldn't walk. And, of course, I felt sorry for myself. I cried every day. Hey, and I kept crying. I said, I can't walk. I can't do what I used to do. And I lost sight. One day, I said, no more will I lose sight. I said, no more will I be afflicted with this pain. I was in terrible, terrible, terrible pain for months. And I said, one morning, no more will I do this. No more. And from then on, I walked. And I have no pain. I don't believe in doctors. Even though I'm a dietitian, a retired dietitian, I can't say I don't believe in doctors. Doctors are there to help you, but sometimes they're just not enough. So you need a little spiritual connection to help your own self. That's why I have the 52 prayers. They're for every affliction. If you have it in your mind that you can overcome any affliction with the sheer power of prayer, you will heal thyself. And you will not need to go to a doctor. Because in your mind, you have created that you will no longer be afflicted. You are reprogramming your mind to be healthy. Number one, you reprogram your mind to be healthy. You reprogram your mind to be well and your body to be well. And it will be.
There's a lot of information available now for those
yes.
who would like to follow that sort of path up.
And I follow that. I am never sick. Now, I fall down and get broke.
Yeah.
But I'm never sick.
Yeah. A lot of
Except
what we do.
Except when a disaster comes
yeah.
and I am so sick I could just die. But I know that a disaster is coming and I know where it is and I'll be sick.
Yeah.
Just from that energy alone. But that's the only time I ever get sick. It's when a natural disaster happens.
I was going to say, sometimes when you're picking up on that to end on, I find if you can find the way through the disaster, we actually bring the wellness back. Because quite often
right.
I find when I get affected by something is when I haven't found my way through it. When I find my way through it, any illness or dis-ease that is with it actually goes because it has nothing to hold on to anymore.
Well, I have to work at it to get rid of it, you know. I don't let it linger, but
yeah.
I was just making a point that the only time I'm sick is when a natural disaster happens. And I know when it's going to happen days beforehand.
Yeah, the vibration's always there.
And, just by walking outside, sometimes when that big earthquake that happened in Alaska, I was outside with my dogs walking, and I literally fell to the ground because I could feel the vibrations, and I said, oh, no. So Alaska's getting it. And sure enough, the next day I heard on the news that Alaska had that, volcano eruption.
Yep. Yeah. Which was quite a spectacular eruption.
Oh, I can imagine.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's an amazing experience to be near a volcano.
Well, I definitely don't want to be there.
Yeah.
But, you know. But anyway, we've talked and we talked and we talked tonight on many different subjects. And before we get to say goodbye, I do want to thank you, Chris. You are a wonderful friend and a wonderful person to be with, and I enjoy your company immensely.
Thank you, Ian Donna.
You have so much information to give, and I appreciate you sharing your time with me.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure. I've thoroughly enjoyed tonight. It's sort of been more an informal chat, more as much as anything, but still, I hope for the listeners, it's been very informative. And for future, anybody who would love to ring up, we're more than happy to hear from you. And you can ring in any time with any questions you may have, whether it's directly related to what we're talking to at the time or something else that you've heard. General questions you might have, the areas you might be interested in, we're also, you know, happy to have those. And I'd like to thank Don once again for coming in with the information you've been able to contribute. It's very informative, and you can be sure that I'll be following it up as well. So thank you for that.
Wait, excuse me. I'm stepping on your toes again. I'm so sorry.
More than welcome.
The number to call is 1-888-268-4313. If you're calling from international calling, that is 218-419-7697. That's 218-419-7697. We'd love to hear from you.
And thank you for that once again. It's been lovely having all our listeners with us tonight, and we hope to have you along again next week. And in the meantime, keep listening to the radio station, and we'll catch up with you again in a week's time.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.